Okay, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back. As Hans has just said when I was sitting down here, have you elevated yourself? And I said, yes, can I? He says, you're the boss. Of course you can. But he didn't realise that I was going to be joined by these four here. So, yes, a rose, I shouldn't really say this, but a rose between four thorns, I'll leave you to work out whether how accurate that is or not, for those of you who understand that English idiom. However, yes, we are now reporting back on the discussions that we had with the four chairs, so a panel session in a different way, and certainly the discussions that I've briefly had with a couple of the chairs who've said this is going to be interesting because we had no consensus whatsoever in the groups, but had some interesting discussions. So I think the fact that there was no consensus is probably good. So I'm going to focus on the four questions that we had, and just as a reminder, how is financial reporting affected by the proliferation of data? How can the market prepare for open accessibility? What effect will automation have on the information supply chain? And should changes to risk and technology affect our standard setting? We've effectively got 45 minutes. However, if we go over, that's fine. However, what I propose to do is to touch on each of the questions for about 10 minutes each. And the approach I'm going to try to take is to ask one of the chairs to, and in the order that we had them before, so group one to talk about question one. So Giuseppe, you up first when we get there in terms of question one, the comments from your group, and then I'm going to ask each of the other chairs to add anything or anything I pick up on to ask for a specific comment from your group on that, and then for the second group to report back and see how we go on that way. I'm also very happy to or think about how we go, in fact, because this is such an important topic that maybe what we do is we pull all of the comments together overnight and maybe have a little bit more of a briefing tomorrow, and April is rapidly scribbling. She hasn't shaken her head yet or fallen over. A discussion where perhaps we do, it gets emailed to all of us or something, and we can have an overall briefing session on the sort of comments that have arisen. And I haven't told these four any of that, which is why they're looking a bit morose at me right now. However, what I propose we do, let's get underway. And Giuseppe, just for a few minutes, if you can try to pull together some thoughts and go to the extremes, if you like, if there were extreme views, in terms of the first question that your group talked about, which is how is financial reporting affected by the proliferation of data?
This was a challenging question because we started by looking at what big data will do in the future, but in fact big data has been with us for a while, and it's already impacting impacting how people look at company and analyze companies. We looked at different attributes of data. The question of data volume, the timeliness, the comparability, which is something that financial statements provide, and data assurance and validity. So the traditional value added by standard setting and financial statements was actually questioned by some members of the group, with some going to extreme, saying that it could become irrelevant because the information will be available faster, and there will be other mechanisms for assuring that the data validity, data assurance. So, of course, we didn't reach a consensus on that one, because it was also pointed out that financial statements have very much of a role in providing comparability and data assurance. And that cannot be easily done with. And I would like, I try to be unbiased, but I would like to point out another comment that emerged, basically that we need a rapid deployment force to understand how to deal with ICOs. And that was from an auditor. So while auditors are supposedly becoming irrelevant because of technology, in reality they are even called to validate ICOs. So to me, that points out to the fact that the auditing profession is not will change, but probably is certain it's not going to be made irrelevant anytime soon. But it will change. The question was also from the point of view of the user of financial statements, how are things going? And there were interesting comments on the increase in passive investing, so those don't need much in terms of financial statements, and on the other hand, the use of possible use of artificial intelligence in the investment decision making process. We also covered a bit the topic of question of level playing field, but I think that's question two later. So,
okay, as expected, two extreme views, but perhaps if we could talk about, just focus for the other groups at the moment in terms of the question, the value of the financial statements, as Giuseppe said, in terms of becoming irrelevant potentially because information is more readily available and there are other methods of assurance. Jake, did your group go towards that, and what sort of comments did your group have on that?
Thanks, Joanna. Firstly, thanks to my group. Very interesting sets of comments, but as Joanna mentioned, very little consensus, I would say, with our group. Trying to summarize the comments, not necessarily to present them as a consensus, but there was a lot of questioning in the group as to, in effect, what is the role of the IASB and the role of financial statements per se. So trying to get into some order, there were questions asked about who exactly are the users. We talk about this nebulous group called investors. Investors in themselves have very different needs, depending on the type of investor you are. But there are other users. There are governments, tax authorities, whoever it is that need something out of reporting. So the conversation then looked very much at what is reporting, what should reporting be, or the standard setting process be. And here we talked a lot about data, the availability of data, whether it is accessible. You know, certain companies may not want to put their data out in the public domain, etc. But I think it's be fair to say is that there were, on the one hand, views that we have something that is good. It may not be perfect, but it is good. It fulfills a purpose. And then from that, I think there were other views that said we should be pushing the envelope, but acknowledging that we have something that can be used. So is it a, and I'm going to steal the EU's version here, is it a core and more type situation? In other words, the standard setting process should give a basic report that can be used, that meets the needs, the basic needs of users, and maybe allow for data to provide extra information as we go through. So the question arose, so should the standard setter be looking at data? I think we had some proponents for that, we had some proponents against it, simply because the data set is changing constantly. We have structured data, we have unstructured data. It could be very difficult to, in actual fact, isolate what is the data that we're using. Is it a process to take the data through to a reporting basis? Is that what the standard setting should look at? And that, you know, I use the word XBRL here, but not necessarily have to be XBRL, but some form of taxonomy, how you take data, make it a value add that people can analyze the data. I think one of the points that came out fairly strongly in the group was format is maybe not necessarily where standard setting should be sitting at the moment. Again, we had the two groups, if you want, the polarity in views, is that we got something with format as correct as it is, to the other view that maybe we should allow users to create some sort of value add out of the data. So the proliferation of course, your non-GAAP measures, et cetera, as a possibility. Everybody will be looking for the competitive edge. So things like recognition, things like measurement was considered to be very important, that if you take data, there is a definition as to when you recognize revenue or how you measure revenue, for example, and how that should be brought into a report, whatever that report is, and it may differ from user to user. Did we finalize what the standard setter should be doing? And I can honestly say the answer is we did not get to any answer there. Should the ISB be disbanded? Nobody thought that as well. So I think it's defining the role of where the standard setter sits in this whole thing is probably the most important.
Okay, and just perhaps on that theme, Robert, so where the standard setter sits in terms of the data, so I'm sort of leapfrogging as we go through and putting pressure on you. Did your group consider that in relation to the proliferation of data?
Not that much. We briefly discussed the issue about taxonomy. And here the question was raised, do we need a taxonomy at all? The answer was twofolded, yes, we do. And then the other answer was, well, in the future we don't, because artificial intelligence will do this for us. This was one notion we discussed. Beyond this, we more or less discussed the same kind of issues with respect to the first question that already been raised, what's the annual report in the future, real-time reporting or real-time information to one user group. To the users, it's certainly an opportunity. For preparers, it's certainly a challenge. It might be an opportunity, but first it's a challenge. And one issue I would like to point out, as I'm also presenting not only a preparer group, but I'm a preparer, we all have to keep inside the legal framework, the jurisdictions, and the responsibility of the stakeholders, namely the corporations. We have board of managements, we have supervisory boards in place, and they have to stick to the various jurisdictions and corporate governance codices which we have to adhere to, and this was important also in our group.
Okay, and finally, Garth, just as a general on the first question, did your group have any different views than those that have currently been expressed?
Well, I think the one issue is that, do we all understand what proliferation of data is and what big data is? Is it going to be made available voluntarily? Is it going to be made compulsory? And what information is going to be made available? Because if you make everything available, then your bigger user group is going to be your competitors to find it. So I think we saw that big data probably has more relevance in relation to homogeneous transactions and perhaps of less relevance to the heterogeneous type of transactions. And also, you also need to then say, well, what is the relationship between big data and the use of judgment? Because data assumes information is readily available, regularly being updated, but with judgments that might occur on a periodic or annual basis.
Okay. I think that's been, and as I expected, this has thrown up some very different views, but to me, what it is showing, and we'll see where we go with the others, questions, is it is showing that there are opportunities for us or the board, the foundation, to consider. There are risks around those opportunities, exactly as Anthony said, that yes, we do need to consider, but it is happening, and the fact that we don't know, and so maybe the opportunity, the biggest opportunity and the risk if we don't do it, is a recommendation from this advisory council that the trustees stroke the board, or the foundation anyway, needs to think about how they are going to grapple with these issues internally. So on that note, I'm now going to turn to question two, which was, how can the market prepare for open accessibility? And perhaps, James, you take us through where your group got to on this one.
So, Jonah, I think the question of what is accessible that Garth pointed out was discussed in the group. And issues around whether blockchain is the solution for this. Would it give the solution for the whole picture? What kept on coming up in the discussion, I think, was allowing entities to portray a story or a picture of what is happening. Interestingly enough, it was raised in the group that in terms of privacy, because there's counterparties everywhere in transactions, a company that doesn't wish to disclose or wish to keep data private is going to create an opportunity for others to mine the counterparty's data and pick up the transactions from that side as well. So there were issues of security and privacy being asked, but it sounds like the way it's moving is that if you mine the data correctly, you can actually pick up the information about people who don't wish to make their information public anyway. So then it went back to how does reporting work, and what are the requirements of reporting, and who are we reporting to? And that was the comment I made earlier on about the different users that we have, the different stakeholders that we have that are interested in getting a value add, because data by itself does not provide the value. It's how do you interpret the data? And this was seen as where the standard setting comes into play as necessary. There was a thought pattern that also went through the group that, again, to mention this basic reporting is something that can give a minimum that allows people to place reliance thereon, and that there was talk about the audit profession, but it also the standard setting should provide a way to look at data. And one of the thoughts that came up, which I thought was quite relevant, was we're going to see a shift maybe from historical to looking at forecasting, and again, so it's a basis, this recognition, this measurement, these definitions become very important as to understanding what has been presented in a report or of some sort. Whether it's a financial statement or not, I mean, that's open to debate. Another thought that came up, which I thought was worth mentioning, was the concept of crowdsourcing, and the fact that currently it uses unstructured data and no validation is put onto that data very often. And I think this is where people sort of thought the role of the standard setter was to create the validation and the value add around data and how it's used. Sorry, it wasn't 100% on topic, but the conversation went everywhere.
And I think that's very valuable and useful. And I certainly, the bit that you said about the telling the story, and I think that's a lot, and it's perhaps something that is a theme around telling, you know, using the technology and the open accessibility and the data, all of it about telling the story.
And that interaction and with other frameworks as well.
Yeah, and if we go back to my lovely friend Dawn, you know, that's effectively, you know, what she's looking for is the telling the story and understanding the story. Okay. Giuseppe, any further comments or following on from what Jake has said on that second question?
First an observation. I think our group, whom I thank very much, were much more vocal on the first question of big data than on the impact of blockchain, perhaps reflecting the fact that we don't have actually much, generally speaking, much in terms of practical experience concerning the blockchain, how it can be used, and how it can be used to validate data. On open book accounting, there was a very interesting remark, I thought, by Professor Dusky, who said, well, it's not exactly new because I heard about it when I was a student some time ago, and it has not actually happened yet, and we should reflect why it has not happened yet. Is it because, I mean, people want to protect, companies want to protect their data, they want to protect their prop data. So there was some skepticism about that happening really voluntarily and without inducement. We also discussed the question of real-time or very frequent updates and the quality of such updates and the interplay with the user community in terms of would it foster more short-termism or not. That's all.
Garth?
One of the issues that we'd discussed is with making information available, which entities does it relate to? Does it just relate to listed entities? What do you do then with unlisted entities? Do you suddenly make that information available? That was one of the considerations that is likely to have to be dealt with by regulators and politicians. How much do they want to make available? But in making the information available, it's one thing, but do you want it available in a uniform manner? Or are you wanting companies to have the ability to tell their story in their way? And if you don't have it in a uniform way, it enables that, but then it just makes it more difficult for users because they're going to have to approach different data that are available differently, particularly if the extent of information that is made available is not extensive. The other thing is that the other comment that we came up with is that it's all good and well having information readily available, but that's more likely to be on information, as I said earlier, without the use of judgment, and that's where you might find that there's still a role for the financial statements to be able to explain the judgment. So the judgment process comes later, but it might have to be validated.
Okay, thank you. And I'm now going to put Robert on the spot because I'm going to say the question was actually how can the market prepare for open accessibility as opposed to what so far I've heard the three of you talk about, which is who's going to do it and why and what is open accessibility. So, Robert, did your group actually talk about how you prepare for it, accepting the fact that it's going to come?
It was a hard discussion, or it was a constructive discussion, lengthy discussion about this issue. And there were two sides. One said, well, we do not want to make it public available. And the other side, well, why not? It should be shared, and if you do not share it, let's say from a preparer side of view, if you do not share it, somebody else will get into the game and prepare this data for the users. So it's more or less the same notion which you already mentioned. Another topic which we did briefly discuss, no answer, but at least we touched upon, is the audibility of blockchain transactions. I'm not the expert in this, but if you have blockchain transactions, you lose the identities of the contractors behind. They are lost. You can only, in brackets, you can only trace the transaction, but there's no trace on the individual. And this was a notion which we briefly discussed with respect to blockchain, but not providing an answer for this one.
Okay, and I'm going to come back to everybody out there when we're, if we've got a few minutes at the end, as I said, but also maybe pull together some stuff for some further discussion tomorrow. But let's for now move on to the third question. And Robert, I'm going to turn to you again. What effect will automation have on the information supply chain? Comments from your group.
Yes. Well, since, again, I'm a preparer and we discussed this very lengthy in my group, I want to start out with a small comment from my company I'm coming from, which is that we do expect in the finance function, I'm not talking about business models, or automotive driving, and the finance function of my company to get efficiencies or to harvest efficiencies between at the minimum 30% up to 50% within the next 8 to 10 years by applying technologies. This is a fact, and this is one notion, so we have to make everyone aware, the staff, the employees, that this will go into come. Secondly, what we already discussed this morning, we will have a huge change in the skill set and the job demanded job profiles for the future starting today, which means organizations will start to hire data scientists, they start to hire mathematicians, they start to hire computer or software programmers in order to apply this technology. This would also mean that the current, let's say, high-level expertise in an accounting department, here the demand for this high-level expertise will also change dramatically. This was one issue which we touched upon with respect to automation. The other issue is, once applying automation, the question was, is there still human judgment needed? Or is everything done by machinery, by applying artificial intelligence? Here we had an interesting discussion. One colleague said, well, humans are biased in their judgment. So the answer would be applying artificial intelligence would give you more objective judgment. So what does this do to organizations? We do not have the answers, but I think everyone has to cope with this. So this is the notion of judgment. Then there was a discussion by applying automation whether automation will eliminate human erroring. Two sides of the coin. Some colleagues said, no, this cannot be because you will always need expertise applying certain accounting standards, doing professional judgment. Others said, well, this will going to come within the next 3 to 8 years. Again, artificial intelligence will help. At least I think there was some agreement that automation will certainly help to detect human erroring by applying this. So these were some of the fields we discussed with respect to automation, what this can do on the skill set, on the job profiles, and how we can react to this.
Thank you, Robert. Jake?
We didn't actually specifically address 3 and 4. We got caught up in the first two, but there are comments that are applicable to them. I think looking through the comments here, what was important was what will, in terms of automation, was just how granular are we going to be drilling? Are we going down to transaction level? Will we be working at a higher level? And what are the implications here for reporting? And again, that talks to, in a way, the need for taxonomies to be developed at the same time as standards in order to cope with this. There were some thoughts about AI in the sense that AI might be very narrow in focus. Does that mean judgment falls away, etc.? And I think the group probably felt it did not, but that AI certainly would be a tool, and technology is the tool to get reports or data into a meaningful report for people to use and make decisions on. The question was, what should that report look like, and who are these people who want to make decisions?
Okay, and Garth, finally on this one, did your group talk about the impact on judgment of us as human beings in relation to this?
When we were talking on this one, we were looking at what do we do about getting the necessary experience. And we were saying that simplistically, if there was less experience, then there's higher risks. But on the other hand, we were saying that that is likely to be compensated for. For example, you might use AI to be able to give more type of experiences. Also, when we look at the whole area of judgment, sometimes there's an approach to say it's either all AI or all human. We're saying the reality is it's likely to be a combination. We look at the moment judgments as one area. You might find going forward that judgments, in fact, is broken up into different components, and you might find that AI can help in giving a certain amount of information, and then you can use your human judgment to use that information, or alternatively, once you've made that, you can ask AI or use AI to see whether that makes sense.
Okay. And Giuseppe, anything to add to those from your group?
Yes. One auditor noted that auditing firms are now investing in auditing technology, and he said, well, if this technology becomes available at a cheaper rate with open book accounting, well, basically, auditors could be made redundant, to which another member replied, yes, but you need really to have insights into the full picture of the company to make make the useful decision, and you cannot get that without the auditor process. Then we addressed also the question of training. What happens to novice accountants and analysts who cannot perform those manual tasks? And in fact, in the group, there was not much sympathy for the idea that is really needed, because the thought was, we don't know what the role of all of those professionals will be in the future, and maybe they don't need to do the same thing that we did ourselves in the past. So we should not project role of the accountant today to the future. We should really think that it will be quite different from what it is now.
Thank you, Giuseppe. And that's an interesting comment. Your last comment just made me think of something that in listening to and talking to people about technology at home in New Zealand and various speakers and ask the question, well, what should we teach our children? What should they learn? Because we don't know what the future is going to be. And the common answer, and I love it, is we should teach them to be curious. And that curiosity is going to help us, and I think that that applies to that same thing. So it's not learning to tick with a green pen as I did and get my experience that way. It's to make sure that their minds, as we bring them through, as junior, whatever they may be, that we encourage them to be curious about the world. Sorry, that's just my thought in terms of straight from what you said there. But then that leads to the very last question, and absolutely, and I think we've touched on it as we go through, but the key fundamental thing for us sitting in this room, should changes to risk and technology affect our standard setting? Garth, this was the question that your group dealt with first, so comments from you.
That's correct, and I think it's probably fair to say that we focused more on the technology side than on the risk side. I think we recognize that accounting and business world has changed and is changing and therefore will continue to change. So it's important that our standards are able to reflect that, and that is why principle-based standards are appropriate. And one of the reasons for that is the question that I've often asked in presenting to audiences is, should accounting reflect business activity or does accounting affect business activity? And I think whether we like it or not, it's a bit of both. And so accounting does affect decisions and is likely to do so again. So the issue is, are accounting standards robust enough to be able to adapt to that? And that is why when we were looking at the whole issue of technology, we are saying that we believe that there's use for technology, but there are also the limitations. And the limitations might relate largely to some of the subjective areas where the use of technology might be limited, but when we were looking at that, we were also saying that: are we really expecting judgments to be on a real-time basis? No, we're not. Many judgments are only made on a very infrequent basis. So when we're looking at the whole issue of what is being made available, we do need to acknowledge that data is not going to encompass all relevant information. We also need to make sure that the structure of big data is relevant. Different companies might have different structures, but is it being used efficiently? We might find that the use of big data is going to show us that the consequence of decisions is counterintuitive, and that is likely to mean that decisions that companies might make in the future might be different from where we are now. But as long as accounting can reflect that, we believe that principle-based standards are continue to be relevant.
Thank you, Garth. And Giuseppe, in terms of the principle-based standards versus anything other than principle-based standards, did your group cover that in relation to this session?
Actually, no.
Okay. Well, that's a simple thing. You tell us what your group did cover then.
Well, question of we didn't have time to go into depth into this question, but a comment was made that the ISB should consider its scope, its product, the relevance of the product, financial reports, in the light of changes in technology. And of course, there was no particular consensus on how this consideration should go. I think there was a comment about training, in fact. Training, we need training. And to me, it's obvious, even from our discussion, and sorry for being a bit patronizing, that some of the difference in points of view, which is of course understandable given the complexity of the issue, but some of the difference in the point of view comes also from different understanding of the same issue and technology. So we don't have the same definition for things. So I think that the need for training is actually something that we that I think is important.
Robert, did you think about principles-based standards in terms of these?
We did discuss this briefly, and the clear message was stay with principle-based. However, here we come back to the notion of taxonomy. Principle-based gives you some leeway on professional judgment. Taxonomy, is it necessary from an assurance standpoint and or from a comparison standpoint? If you compare data of various companies, as I mentioned before, at the end, the question was, in a few years from now, could or will this be taken over by artificial intelligence, this taxonomy issue? We discussed two other items with respect to potential implications on the standard setting. One was long-term value reporting, which I think was already brought up this morning. Companies are being measured today, how they apply new technologies, as you know, and how do we or how can we measure intangibles which we are using. The capital markets are keen on this. The question is this a field for discussion also for a standard setting? The third one, which we touched upon, was, it's simply the issue, if you're talking about big data, everyone has the implication it's just financial data, which is not. Running these big data models, by applying artificial intelligence, very sooner than later, applicants of artificial intelligence will also embrace qualitative data from the companies, from the preparers, mix them together with financial data, and challenge the preparer side again. And this is certainly an issue which I wouldn't say is a risk from a preparer side, but it's a challenge from a preparer side. And the question is could this be also in a field for a standard setter to explore this notion of comprehensive reporting with respect to new technologies to come up.
Just linking that comment that you've made there around the comprehensive reporting, the mixture of where does the data come from for the regular type of transactions, and Garth's comment that I thought was very pertinent around the fact that we don't use judgments every day on a real-time basis. We only use them occasionally because most things happen just on a standard basis. It's when we have a business combination or something like that that we really use the judgments. And so, James, I'm not sure, did your group, if you like, cover those two areas or link them or think about those and have any observations on those things?
So, Jonah, not specifically. However, the question of principle-based standards did come up. I think there's an acceptance in the group that principle-based standards is what we should be looking at, but it's how do these principle-based standards change data into information, and what is the value add? from that, there were numerous comments that came in thinking about real-time reporting. It obviously could happen with the computing power, with robotics, with AI. Would the level of assurance on real-time reporting be sufficient to meet the requirements of the markets, which led to some comments about, are capital markets going to remain as is? You know, will they not start changing form themselves because they are intermediaries in themselves? And that, in a way, came round to the conversation that I mentioned earlier on about maybe there's a bigger story here in terms of reporting, and that the wider concept of corporate reporting has to come into play as to what the company is trying to get out. And that's where the standard setter plays a role in defining how things should be looked at and how data should be used to provide that story for a company. Sorry, it wasn't quite exactly what you're asking, but in a roundabout way, that's how the conversation went.
Okay. I think that has been very useful, and I'm going to say confusing and a lot of thought. However, I've jotted down quite a lot, but I've jotted down a few things that I think we said there was no consensus. However, I think that there has been some consensus that has come out of that. And what I'm going to try and do is just what I say here, as I think is the consensus, is that I think every group has acknowledged, as Anthony said, it is happening. And therefore, we need to be cognizant of what is happening out there. However, there is a great disparity of views, which everyone has agreed with, indicating more work needs to be done. And I would say more work needs to be done within the foundation. There are opportunities and risks that we need to consider. So arguably, I would perhaps say, as advice from this council, that the foundation needs to think about having somebody in-house to help to identify where we should be heading in these areas and getting ready for what is going to happen. Other things, positives, that the ISB definitely seems to be seen as having a future, that standards do seem to have a future, that people, there is a consensus that it seems to be that some form of financial reporting is a basic and that some form of principles-based standards are needed to support those. However, that with automation around that and what open accessibility means for your day-to-day transactions, that maybe the standards and sitting around the standards, quite how those work is a difficult issue, but the judgment element is probably something that standards are important for in terms of at that higher level. I'm really thinking the question that James's group said, where do the standards add value? And that's a key question for the foundation as to where they add value. But also the whole thing about automation and the fact that I think that everyone's agreed that it won't be one, you know, taking over completely from humans. There will always be an element of judgment needed, but quite how we get that experience, and maybe it is, and sorry, this is me rather than the groups, it's that curiosity element as opposed to saying we've got to train people up. So I think that's where I get to in terms of what I've heard the four of you say, and you might all, sitting around this room, be shaking your heads and saying, well, that's not what you heard. I think we do have a few minutes perhaps for comments or questions, but I might just hand it over to Hans first for any comments from Hans, having heard that, and Sir Callum, if you'd like to make a comment too, and then perhaps a few further comments from the group if you disagree with what's been said.
Well, first of all, I would like to thank the Advisory Council for a very clear sense of direction that they are that they are giving us here.
Yeah, clear. Think about it.
But it is true that there was some consensus, and I think you summarized it pretty well, Joanne, by saying that there is something going on, and we have to keep a close watch. And we probably have to hire some more capacity to keep that watch. I think there's also consensus that you may have all the information that you need, but there's still the more information there is, the stronger the need is for proper structuring of that information and a proper economic explanation of that information. That's why I feel that there's absolutely no existential crisis for standard setting here. Can you imagine in a world where all the companies are putting all their information on the web, real time, and nobody has a definition of what profit is? I mean, it would be a total chaos, and I don't think that artificial intelligence would be able to figure it out. I think there is also what is also more and more obvious to me is it's not just recognition and measurement which is important; it's also format what is important. That's why we are working on better communication. The knowledge that more than 60% of all financial information used by investors is being consumed electronically means that it comes to them in a formatted way, and we have to keep a finger on that, and we have to have influence on that, and that is why I believe that our work on taxonomy is so important. And I believe there is support for that work as well. Then all this real-time information, I think there were some very good comments. You still need judgment, and all this real-time information is probably not always so successful in giving information about long-term value creation. And that is why I believe that with all these data floating around, the story is also important, and that's why I believe, especially in capturing all this financial information that you cannot capture in the standards, that's why I believe the management commentary is very important, about which later. And finally, it is true that I think a lot of these big data are being used, especially by hedge funds, by all these investors that work with algorithms and whose business is to be just a little bit faster than the others, and to have all this real-time information at their disposal. That is not going to go away. That's only going to be stronger. And I also think that that gives a bit of direction for our standard setting. If all these professional investors, hedge funds, and asset management companies are working with this information that they obtain electronically or whatever, are we then going to fall back in historical cost accounting? Yeah, that before for the layman, the lay investor, who doesn't have all these expensive technologies at their disposal, there is IAS 39 has not been abolished yet, and there is already a wave of nostalgia in some parts of Europe for the resurrection of available for sale for equity investments, which means you carry equity investments at cost, while all this information is running around in the market about what the true value is from second to second, minute to minute. Who do you think we are fooling? It should also make us very careful about what kind of valuation we use what kind of measurement basis we use in the standards. It's not a plea for total fair value, as you can understand, but it is a call for caution in going back from fair value accounting. So these are my observations, but also not completely clear, and we have to keep a close watch on everything that's going on.
Sir Callum, comments from you from a trustee's perspective?
The green one.
Yes, thank you. I would only say two things. One is I've been struck in the conversation how often there's been an interchange of the words information and data. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the central issues that we face is how to transform an enormous increase in the data available to something that is useful information. Mm-hmm. And the issue that we have in terms of big data is how do you actually get it into a form that gives you information that enables people to make decisions, and enable people to make decisions, as Hans says, both the sophisticated investors and the unsophisticated, to look at what are the things that really are important. And there is another dimension which also affects all this, which is the whole question of moving away from strictly financial information to a range of information which is specific to a company, looks at questions of sustainability, social responsibility, etc. And I think that one of the biggest problems is how we tackle and approach all those things and don't simply increase the amount of data and reduce the amount of information that we get. The only other thing I would say is that I think that one of the obvious conclusions from this is in terms of expertise. And it's both expertise for trustees. I am very struck that when I look around the table at the trustees, I don't think we have enough people there who are really expert in the question of the application of technology to the work of the foundation. And I think it's something we should very explicitly deal with in terms of the way in which we recruit new trustees. And I also think in terms of the IFRS staff, it's one of the things that we should think about very carefully to how we get into a position to make sure that we are abreast of these developments.
Thank you, Sir Callum, and thank you, Hans. Now, I'm not going to completely open it up to everyone because I know everyone still does have views, but are there any really significant views that any individual feels it's vitally important that you share with the rest of us right now? And I will say I am going to somehow, and I'll talk to April as to how we do it, allow us to have a little bit further discussion on this or bring it together tomorrow in some way, shape or form. So right now, does anyone else have any specific comments that they feel we really need to hear now? And I did put it in terms of don't you dare, didn't I? So, okay, I would like to thank each and every one of you, but in particular the chairs here who, in very short form, and particularly actually the technical staff who managed to type up those notes very quickly and hand them over. So thank you both to the staff and to the chairs and to all of you in the groups for what I think and hope has been very valuable bringing together of thoughts so that we can provide advice to the foundation as a whole. So thank you, and let's move on to the next session, and I will move. And April has something to say.
Could I just say, if any of the chairs do have any comments or edits that they'd like to make to the notes that they were given, if they'd give those to me, I'll have those incorporated into those draft notes that you received earlier.